Chapter 55. Darrow, Demigod. Four dark triangles race toward us over the volcanic plain. They are Republic assault dropships painted with the ancient obsidian runes of the Allfather. Before I can hail the Archimedes, the jamming arrays that jut from their bloated underbellies like stingers cause our long-range comms to die with an insectoid screech. Oh, Jove, that's not good. Cassius's voice is filled with static. I did tell you they wouldn't be alone, I reply. This was not actually what was supposed to happen today, so of course it happened. I actually laugh. Maybe it needed to happen for me to realize I can't keep running. I have to take a stand somewhere, like Cassius with Severo. Am I so afraid of my own braves and the guilt they make me feel? When the attack ships are the size of thumbnails, obsidian aerial cavalry deploy out of their bellies. So what is it then? 50 for each of us? Cassius asks. Looks like. And they'll be just as good as the ones we just fought? Better. See the dropper with the golden ram banner? That's Jarl Skardes.
Jarl Skarde?
Who is he? One bad son of a bitch, I reply. We do not want to fight him.
Right. Do we have that choice?
You did.
We don't.
Right.
Where the Hades is the Archimedes? Cassius asks.
Picking up the others as soon as they're done with the Omega Torch.
Then coming to us, I say.
If it didn't run into its own trouble. With Lyria at the stick.
She can get it here, but she'll be too late, Cassius says, and glances back to the hold.
The civilians may not be able to see the obsidians, but they can hear the war drum beat blasting from the ships.
I'm not leaving, so let's not bicker at the last. You can escape into the volcanoes, lose them in the spews.
Oh, shut up.
Mars needs you. Your boy,
if Pax grows up to be as stupid as you, I'll be a proud father. I'm not leaving you.
Really?
He sounds incredibly touched.
You really die here with me?
I just... Well, I thought that was your and Severo's thing.
Thank you, Darrow.
He must have gotten hit in the head harder than I thought.
We're not going to die. I have a plan.
I knew you would, crafty sod.
What is it, then?
Did you bring another of Portobello's friends?
Bring me the heads of the men you killed. Now.
Prime.
He hurries into the transport and returns, carrying the heads of the obsidians he killed.
What now?
I spear them both onto my razor like olives.
Well, that's grotesque.
We killed their war brothers. Best thing we can do is rub their noses in it, so they don't just waste us with their assault ships.
Some plan, he mutters.
These maniacs were in your army?
Compared to Gorgons, they're cuddly.
They're scoping us now, seeing the heads of their brothers on my blade. Once they get closer, they'll see how good our gear is. They love gear, and they've never seen armor like this. That's when I'll reveal myself.
He grows quiet.
Reveal yourself?
Yes, I'm something of a demigod to them.
Like Perseus?
More like Heracles.
He turns on me.
And they call me arrogant.
I shrug. Have you ever had 300,000 obsidian warriors chanting your name before falling in an iron rain?
He says nothing.
Then get behind me if you want to live.
He gets behind me.
I step forward with my razor held in my right hand. Distorted by the heat rising off the streams of magma, the warriors form a single hundred-headed beast made of glinting armor and flapping fur. The beast dissolves as they envelop us and hammer down like half-ton nails until we're surrounded by a dome of huge killers. Their war helms are fused with gold sigil trophies. Their weapons are comically large. Axes and spears and rifles not even a gold could wield with ease. They are extremely displeased about the heads on my razor.
Da Gufun und Trollnir,
a berserker shouts. He points his long axe at two of the heads in my possession. He follows with a song-like requiem in Nargal. Here have fallen Gufun and Trollnir, horns of the pale ram that broke Sungrave, and fell in the wolf rain upon Terra. Avenge them. That is as articulate as it will get. A dozen of the braves howl curses, but their leader holds them back. Skarde is spindly for an obsidian. He wears heavily battered green armor with a Boetian ram's black horns bursting from his great helm. He floats above us with the grace of a mermaid. His cape is grander than the ram cloaks of his men. It is purple and white. Dragon scale. The scales are still iridescent, which means fresh. Very fresh. Skarde was one of my old special forces centurions. He was not my favorite obsidian leader. In fact, even Sevra found him a little creepy. While not as famous or terrifying as Valdir the Unshorn, Skarde is a tricky warrior and a solid tactician. Though callow at heart, he has the sort of low cunning that makes certain contemptible men utterly indispensable in war. Decisive, brutal, his greatest weakness has always been his dragon-sized greed and his planet-sized pride. The fact that he is here scavenging is good news. It means, in all likelihood, that he's off-grid, I tell Cassius. Yes, such good news. Skarde finally lands and calls out in a mixture of Nagal and Common, which more or less means, "My Brokir's bulbous cock, look at that armor. I need it, I want it, I'll have it. True kin may have the first gold who killed your brothers. War kin may have the second gold who hides behind the first like a beaten whore. Do not damage the armor. No blunt weapons or plasma. Be not messy, my lads. The artificers must have something to work with." A dozen spear-wielders separate from the rest and come toward me. They're not hurried in the least. "Naxa de Tirnafan," I shout before they're halfway. They stop and look at one another, confused to hear their own language from a gold, especially spoken in the accent of the Valkyrie spires.
"Nan fada hirkan. Duven sombrin schleppin van dag Skarde. The one who touches me shall be castrated, if not first, then you last, Skarde," I add in common. "You always were a slutty carrion dog sniffing about for extra vitals. Should have expected to find you squatting over Sungrave's corpse. But abducting children? That's new."
Skarde is taken aback and puzzled by so specific an insult. He laughs, but it comes out like more of a titter. I imagine his piercing eyes narrowing, collecting, scheming from within his humid helm. He holds up a hand to halt his men.
"Your armor is heavy. Of decor, like your razor."
His eyes linger on the razor, thinking he recognizes it.
"Do you know me from its battlefields, gold? And how is it the accent of the spires graces your slippery tongue?"
I laugh at him. He does not hate that. In fact, it intrigues him.
"When you sold your Falera for the wolf rain, I knew you weren't sentimental, Skarde. Didn't think you had a shit memory, too," I say.
Skarde releases his great spear from its black magnet, extends it to its full 3 meter length, and sets it on his shoulder.
"Name yourself, or I'll stick this so far up your piss eye your father will feel the tickle in his bum. Something like the Fear Knight did on Mercury, then, eh, Skarde? To the Free Legions? To the men and women you once called kin in arms?" "Oh, no, I forgot. You weren't there, because you're a faithless, oath-breaking cur."
The obsidians look at one another in confusion.
"Name yourself," Skarde demands. "Before you bothered with moons, you liberated planets in my name. How far you've fallen. You know me, Skarde. You all know me. Or have you forgotten the man who put the razor in Ragnar's hands?"
I lower my helmet to bare my face to the warriors and to Io's freezing, poisonous air. It's horribly painful. My skin starts to ache fast. They lean back, kind of like they're pissing themselves. I think it's fear. I really hope it's fear. Then one makes a sign of protection. My skin feels like it's falling off. Poor Romulus. I'd hate to die this way. I put on a very disappointed face and let it become a very weird, very malevolent smile. I raise the helmet again, mute the helm, moan for breath, and wait. If I'm the next one who talks, Cassius and I will die.
Tir Morga, Skarda whispers. You are dead.
Dead in the sands of Mercury. With your brothers of the Free Legions, I ask. With your sisters. I looked to the sky for Valdir, for Sefi, for you, Skarda. I prayed to the All-Mother for the kin of Ragnar to remember their oaths, to deliver on their promise to follow the Morning Star, to protect the Republic. But no, Skarda breaks oaths, like a gnomon. Now you're out here playing gold in the dimness. How can you live with such shame? Where is Sigurd? Where is your son? How can he look upon his honorless father?
Guilt has a corrosive effect on self-confidence, particularly for warriors. The Obsidians could kill us without losing a man, but they eye the gloom and fury of the volcanoes as if waiting for an army to emerge. That is not all that restrains them. Obsidians delight in war, not only for the violence, though they love that, but for the truths war flays bare. When the enemy is closing in and you're on your back foot, that's when you discover who your brothers and sisters really are. For 10 years, whenever the fighting was the thickest, they needed only to look to the sky to find me on my way. I know the rain Falera on their armor because I pinned it to each of their chests. I see 3 who wear the platinum pendant of Arat, 11 with the White Fist of the Earth campaign, others still wearing their horse helms with the white horsehair crests of Pegasus Legion. Is it working? Cassius asks. That all seemed a terrible amount of provocation, Darrow. I ignore him.
What have you become, Hafnar? And you, Lothgar? And you, Loka. It is Loka, yes? I see a rat badge. You fought with me in the tunnels of Mars.
Big cousin, wasn't that what the Red Children called you? You wore their ribbons in your hair.
Now, what? You take little boys and sell them at market, or do you keep them for yourself? Have you learned the ways of your new master? Will you sell me to him too?
Instead of facing their own guilt, they embrace denial.
He cannot be Tir Morga. He is too short, one says.
That's Sun Industries gear. 8-bit screws. Maybe it is him.
I know that voice. Sigurd, Skarda's son. An amiable young man, neither as clever nor as greedy as his father, he adores the arcades and nightclubs of the Republic and was once in love with Thraxa.
That's bad lass in his hands.
It's a gold trick. Shoot him and let's take their gear. I want to go back to the garter and play in the orchards with my new nymphs.
Another rumbles.
Flay him, the cur who takes Ragnar's name in vain.
A berserker whispers.
Flay him, flay him, flay the pretender.
The berserker comes at me in a rush with 2 armor-boring fists whirring. Sigurd calls for him to stop. He does not. I bend under the berserker's left jab and come around his flank where I hack off both his legs at the knee and then take off his head for good measure. My helmet sensors warn me. 2 more descend from above, one like a hawk, the other a tiger. I shoot straight up past the hawk, split the tiger in half, then come down on the hawk from behind like a needle. My blade goes through his back armor and into his spine, and I drive him down and stake him to the crusty ground. To them it might look supernatural, but they don't feel the hamstring I just strained. The left one, it aches like a snake bite. I went for drama, not form. I hear Cassius going, tisk, tisk. The wind howls as the men die at my feet. No longer interested in testing me, some of the braves make signs of protection. Sigurd, slender for an obsidian with kudo horns jutting from his helm, rushes forward and bares his throat. Skarda jerks his son back and calls him an idiot. Skarda's voice is barely above a murmur.
Dear Morga. Oh.
Why, Skarda? Not how. I am here to claim what is rightfully mine. The life of Volsung Fa. He killed Sefi, the sister of Ragnar. Your sworn queen, last I checked.
I've come to declare Ashfar upon him. I've come to claim the contest of blood that is my right as a son of the Valkyrie Spires.
Dear Morga, that will not happen. You must leave this place. When Fa learns you live, he will offer a mountain of helium for your head. He will not fight you. He will drop atomics on whatever city he believes you inhabit. He will scorch a continent from space to kill you. He does not abide by Ashfar.
So he is a hypocrite. Is that not how he rose, claiming to avenge Thalia, a dead wife? Here is my head. Come claim your helium, Skarda.
He wouldn't dare. Not in front of his men. They might even kill him for it. Not all of them, but someone. Maybe in his sleep. Maybe when he's bedding his new slaves. He knows that, so it's impossible to tell if he really does have honor when he says,
"We will not fight the man who gave Ragnar the razor. No, we are not savage dogs. But you have no place here. The Rim is your enemy, too. Let us play with it. We are helping you. Go back to Mars."
Is that how they justify to themselves? Sigurd approaches his father.
Father, how many times have I heard you moan on about Fa? His favoritism of the Askamani, his rigid hand, his bloodguard. Is this not a sign? Is this not what we prayed?
There is a fizzing sound, and then a triplet of noise. Pang! Pfft! Sigurd stumbles. The obsidian to his left jerks. Lines of blue fire arc across the man's pulse shield before the shield collapses with a shriek. Something slams into another brave's breastplate, punctures it, then detonates. Gore sprays out. Skarda uses his own body as a shield for his son, Sigurd, and slips back into the protection of his men.
Sneg! Snipers! Testudo!
I'm so startled Cassius has to tackle me to the ground. Slugs scream overhead.